everyone, and welcome. I'm Bobby Laporte, CEO of Bobby Laporte & Associates and host of the Executive Aid Station. In today's competitive and dynamic executive marketplace, we believe that leadership is an endurance event, and we are here to provide the support that today's leaders need. Our show guests are executives who have successfully achieved a balanced life, as well as experts in fitness, health and wellness, and personal leadership. They're people who share their strategies for living and leading mindfully and for gaining a competitive edge in the workplace. I am pleased today, very pleased today, that my guest is Paul Kinney, who is my multi-sport coach. And Paul is owner of Kinney Multisport. He has over 16 years of endurance coaching experience and has trained amazingly over 700 triathletes, duathletes, cyclists, and runners since 2001. Coach Paul trains athletes locally in the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as remotely across the United States, Europe, and Asia. Paul formed Kinney Multisport to provide endurance athletes of all ability levels with the knowledge, structure, accountability, expert guidance, and feedback so that they could attain their fitness goals and race to their full potential. Paul's approach to coaching involves using a combination of science and practical experience to help his athletes develop long-term success. He creates a customized program that maximizes an athlete's available time so that they're able to progress faster with fewer injuries, resulting in more time to do the important things in life, which I think is really key. So I want to welcome you, Paul, to the Executive Aid Station.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and it's great for you to be able to participate. I personally really appreciate it.
Let's start with
how you became a multi-sport coach, because I know you have a degree in industrial technology from Cal Poly, and I know you've also had some interesting businesses in designing what I'll call soft goods, and including, I was surprised to see, high-end pet beds. I know you and I are both dog lovers.
Yes.
So tell our audience about why you decided to dedicate yourself to full-time being a multi-sport coach and transitioning from the corporate world.
Yeah, I found out pretty quickly that the corporate world in and of itself really wasn't for me. I didn't have the patience for office politics. I'm pretty literal. So if my boss would come and ask me for my opinion, well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, and if it hurts your feelings, then so be it. So I just found that working for myself was going to lead to more long-term success than trying to make a career at a big corporation. You had mentioned that the soft goods and the high-end pet beds, that it was a company that I created back in the late 90s. And I came to this decision point where I had two businesses and was running both of them at the time, what I would say was successfully, and had to make the choice. Do I want time or do I want finances? So I was making a comfortable living, but I had absolutely no time. None whatsoever. It was working on training plans in the evening and sometimes even at the office and then trying to run a manufacturing company at the same time. And the realization came to me that, do I want to run two businesses long term and be mediocre at both? Or do I want to excel at one and put all my energies into one business? And, I sold off the pet bed business. That had to go. So, and I dedicated myself at that point to endurance coaching. And in a way, it was also following that path of employment and doing what you love. You know, there's that cliche that when you do something you love, you never work a day in your life. Well, yeah, it's sort of true. I mean, there's still things about running a business that is work. I mean, there's still a ton of stuff that you have to do that's outside of the core of the business itself that actually you spend most of your time on. But as you well know, there's a whole host of other things that go on when you're running your own company. So that in a nutshell is kind of how I became dedicated to Kinney Multisport.
But at that time when you were running the soft goods business, you were also creating training plans. You were coaching, and then you were also training and racing yourself, right?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I can see where you're – I mean, that leaves, like, no time in the day. And as you said, not that you have lots of spare time now, but you're spending your time helping other people like me to, you know, to be successful. And of course, there's the business things to attend to as well. But and obviously, you've been very successful at this. So congratulations on making that choice. I'm sure it was risky at the time. You never know how those things are going to work out. How those are going to work out, but it did work out well for you. So
certainly, there were certainly months in that winter where generally people kind of fall off the training wagon a little bit, and that September October timeframe comes around. Most people are done with their events for the year, and I'm thinking to myself, well, am I going to have enough athletes still with me through those months that I can still pay all the bills, etc. And every year it was never a problem, even though I worried about it every year. But we instill in our athletes that if they want to make a year-over-year fitness gains and get better and progress on a yearly basis, there's no such thing as an off-season. So they have to work year-round. It doesn't mean that they're at a full volume 12 months out of the year. There's certainly some downtime, but the off-season, that's a misnomer.
Right. Well, and so let's talk about your athletes. So as one of your athletes, I know my experience is that, and what one of the things I appreciate the most is that you do take a holistic approach to developing training programs and customized training programs for each of us. And what I love is that you take into consideration all of our other life commitments so that we have the best opportunity to make our training work, but also allow time for other things in life. So how and why did you come about to develop that approach?
Well, it's easy to generate a training plan. I mean, you can go on the internet and you can find probably 100 different training plans for free on the internet. But trying to incorporate those into a very busy life is, for some athletes, it's nearly impossible. And they don't have the time to think about, okay, well, how do I take this plan and modify it? So what we do is we look at the athlete's life as a whole. They have family, there's work, there's social activities, hopefully some downtime, there's training, there's their health they have to worry about. So nothing exists in a vacuum. And we take all of their commitments and then build a training plan around that. And that's really their success is built on that concept. And it's not so much in training. I think that a corporate or career has to be viewed in the same way, that there's not just one component to your life. You have all these other aspects that you have to manage.
Right.
And from a training perspective, we just build the athlete's training schedule around all of those commitments, but we're also very flexible because we know that life throws a lot of curveballs at us, and one week is not the same as the next. So we have to be on top of managing their training from sometimes a day-to-day basis. You know, I've had several emails just this morning saying, Paul, I'm going here this weekend. Can we mix things up and say, sure, okay, let's move the run from this day to this day. Do you have any bandwidth over the weekend in order to fit in any type of training? And the answer in this particular case was, no, I'm going skiing. I'm like, okay, good. There's good cross training for you, so go and enjoy.
Have fun, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we have to do that. And then we also like to emphasize the quality of the workouts over the sheer quantity. Training has to be developed around the context of each athlete's availability, but not what they think they can do or what they believe is ideal. They'll probably search the internet and see pros that are training 30, 40 hours a week. You know, that's not realistic for 99.9% of the population. So we have to look at what is actually realistic, because when you look at a 30 or 45 minute run, that run takes 10 or 15 minutes to prepare for. Then you've got 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes post-run, if you're doing it midday, that you've got to shower and get yourself put back together so you can go back into the office. So we have to look at what realistically people can do. And I think initially when we start working with clients, most of the time they're not realistic in that what they really truly have available to them in order to commit to training. And so we help them develop that over the course of time.
Well, you're right that I think flexibility and also communication, which I know you emphasize, you know, in being able to respond to requests like that and be able to make changes in someone's training plan is really, I found, has been super helpful and really important.
Yeah, the communication.
No, go ahead.
The communication is one of the critical components. If we don't know exactly what the athlete is doing and how things are going, then we can't effectively prescribe the workouts to come next in the training block. I mean, we have an idea, and
right.
we would assume that things are going well and that they're getting the workouts in, but it doesn't always happen. And so without that good two-way communication and letting the athlete also know how we are interpreting the data that's coming through Training Peaks, things can kind of get lost in translation and they won't progress as quickly as they otherwise would.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit more, because many of my clients and yours, as we said, are very busy professionals living here in the Bay Area. So have you seen any, in your experience, successful tips or techniques on how people can manage all of their commitments? We touched on this a little bit, but you know, I know that many of my, what I'll call aspiring athlete clients, think that they can never make this work. So we talked a little bit about, you know, scheduling, communications, but what else have you seen? How do you work with clients so that they can better manage all of their commitments across all the different parts of their life?
Yes. So some of this goes back to the previous topic we were just on in regards to being realistic with the time you really have available to you.
Right.
The what's realistic, what I would like to do, and versus what they believe is ideal to prepare themselves for, say, a half Ironman or a full Ironman event or a marathon. So we have to just work within the bounds of what is available to each individual. There's this idea of balance. We always hear, oh, we have to balance our work life and our social life and our training. Well, I'm sorry to tell everybody, but balance does not exist. We simply have too many choices. So what we end up with are priorities. And that may lead to some type of what we feel is a balance in life, but in the end it comes down to, well, where are our priorities? And they're not static. So they'll change on a sometimes daily, weekly, monthly basis.
Right.
But the top one's obviously family and job. Number three, well, where do we fit in a healthy lifestyle, exercise, training for an event, our social activities? So those tertiary and beyond commitments that we have, mm-hmm. we need to change the priorities of those from time to time. And sometimes those priorities even jump ahead of job and sometimes even jump ahead of family. So we just have to be flexible and know that what is going to make us happiest based on the hierarchy of the commitments that we have on any given day. I also think that scheduling is of the utmost importance. To-do lists. I use a lot of to-do lists in my daily life. So I've got one on my desk here right now, and I've got a lot of things scribbled out, which makes me feel good. That, okay, I've got a lot done, and that also tells me, okay, well, the next to-do list is about to start, and it's going to be a fresh one.
Right.
But it eliminates that wasted time. And when time is so, so precious to us, and we have so many things that we want to get done, then having a specific list to get through on a given day or 2 days or 3 days or however you want to set up that list, it keeps you from wasting time. The other thing that I tend to do is I schedule myself with times during the day where there's no email, text messages, phone. I set that aside so I can do, say, training plans, or maybe I'm developing one individual's master plan for an entire season. I will focus fully on that, and I won't check email.
Right.
I won't answer the phone. I won't look at text messages. And that, again, just comes back to that maximizing the time that you have and the availability that you have. Another area that really will help with aspiring athletes who are super busy is having good communication with your family and coworkers, employer, employees,
exactly.
friends.
Exactly, right.
letting them know what it is that you're doing, and they can be a little bit more empathetic about your situation. And you know, when you're gone on the weekends training, or when you're not going to the bar with coworkers in the evening because you're at the pool, so you're drinking pool water and they're drinking martinis.
Right.
We have to, you know, we've got to have good communication, and also getting the family's buy-in, the spouse and the children. If you have an Ironman event that you're training for, at a certain point in time, the training volume needs to get to such a level that you're going to be properly prepared for that race. And having that spouse and that family's buy-in that, yeah, we're behind you 100% on this. I know that, yeah, we might not get to the movies this week, but on the recovery week, we'll definitely get to the movies as a family. So having their buy-in is certainly a key component to it as well. From an education standpoint, what we do is we also like to educate our athletes about the reasons why they're doing certain types of training and the physiological mm-hmm. adaptations that occur based on various intensities and durations, et cetera. And even self-coached athletes, they can do the same thing by educating themselves to streamline their own training. And it's not necessary, if you're training for an Ironman, to get out every single weekend and be riding 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. You can get the adaptations that are required in far less time, as long as you're focusing on the appropriate intensities for a certain
right.
type of duration.
Right. So all of these things you're talking about, Paul, about balance, scheduling, I'm a big believer in to-do lists as well. Communication, I agree, not just in terms of keeping everybody informed, but I think that also with your family and your coworkers and others, it builds accountability. But these all, I would guess, apply to whether you're training for an Ironman or you're training for your first 10K or a 25-mile like charity, you know, bike ride. That's what I love about this framework, and I think all of these things can apply to, you know, what I call the aspiring athletes, because everybody will say, well, I can't do an Ironman, but there's something you can do, but we're all still busy. We also have really demanding professional lives. And so these key principles that you talked about, I think, are so important, because everybody can benefit from them if they're deciding to begin to train, or, you know, even just start a basic fitness regimen.
Yeah, without a doubt. And also knowing that they need to be a little bit flexible. So if they've created themselves a plan, or they're pulling a plan off the internet that says, today, okay, I'm training for my first 10K and today is a 30-minute run, and work completely blows up in their face on that particular day, they need
right.
to be a bit less flexible and move things around, yeah. or change a 60-minute run to a 20-minute run. You know, getting in a little
right.
bit of something is a lot better than getting in absolutely nothing at all.
Yes.
You know, you can't really take that all or nothing concept to your training days either. And we also encourage athletes to get creative with their workouts. So maybe you've got children that have weekend practices or weekend activities where they're with an instructor, then they can go off and get in a short run while their children are being instructed in whatever
exactly
activity that they're doing.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, but the key really is flexibility. And I always like to say, being consistent, right? If you can't do a 60-minute run, then get 30 minutes or 40 minutes. I mean, consistency in your training schedule is important. And then I also like to encourage people not to, and I know you do as well, don't be hard on yourself. If you miss a workout, you can't make it up.
Yes.
So you just have to move on, right? And, you know, and then just, you know, tackle the next day and see what's possible in the next day.
Without a doubt. I like to also have our athletes look at their training in the form of time spent at an appropriate intensity to achieve those adaptations necessary for the body to gain the fitness to improve. Where a lot of times when people get stressed, they think, okay, well, I've only got 60 minutes, so I just got to go as hard as I can for 60 minutes. When they'd be better off actually going easier, you're not maybe running or riding or swimming as far in that amount of time, but in the end, it's still 60 minutes. So you want to maximize the time as well by going at the appropriate intensity to achieve those goals.
Right. You know, related to this, in our professional lives, I mean, we hear a lot about job stress and burnout, and as we've already said, people are challenged trying to manage their family and their work life, you know, never mind a multi-sport training program. But a lot of the science and the literature that I see has evidence that if you make a regular commitment to a training or an exercise program, it actually helps you to be more productive, to kind of have more energy and personal fuel to be able to, that kind of crosses over to other domains of your life. Is that something that for our busy professional listeners that you've seen in the work that you do with your athletes?
Without a doubt. The more fit an individual is, the more energy they tend to have across the hours in a given day. It doesn't come easy. It does take a commitment to change and being consistent. And in some respects, it's a permanent lifestyle change. If we're looking at the health of the
right.
general population of the United States, it's not that good. And by just getting out and doing a little bit of physical activity over the course of time, if you're consistent with it, you increase your metabolism, you decrease stress levels, you increase the effectiveness of your sleep, which is where fitness is actually created. You also
right.
decrease the incidence of controllable diseases like type 2 diabetes. So fitness plays a key role in the amount of energy that you'll have in a given day. And another component to that fitness is also one that most people overlook, and that's nutrition, healthy eating habits. And I'm not talking about dieting. I'm talking about making quality food choices on a daily basis. And this is also something that busy executives and those in the corporate world, they tend to just go with whatever's quickest. You know, I'm busy. I'm just going to grab whatever burger from whatever place. And
right.
you know, it keeps you from feeling hungry for a short amount of time, but in the end, it's not the best of choices if you're looking to have a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. The healthier the individual is, also the more productive they're going to be long term, not only in their own life,
right.
but at work. So that's a big benefit for the company as well.
It's definitely something, evidence that I've seen in both myself and with, you know, training partners and, you know, busy professionals who I see have made that commitment. But it really starts with, again, making a commitment to do something on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right, and I think that's when you do that and then you start to see the benefits that flow over, you see your personal energy increase. And all the literature again says this, you have cognitive benefits, you have clearer thinking, you make better decisions, you see things differently. So I think the benefits can be multiple. And I really do believe that it does help you to manage things in the stressful environment across, you know, all the different aspects of your life.
Yes.
Which is something I know you have to do as well. So kind of on the personal side, so your business is very busy and you service a lot of, you know, very busy professionals, type A kind of people, I'm sure. I'm not going to put myself in that category. But, so how do you, and I know, you know, you actively train and race. How do you manage to fit in your own training time? Because that, you know, I think helps to role model for the rest of us how it can be done.
Yeah, I schedule it into my day. And
there you
this
go.
Is also something that the executives can do is, and that we work with one executive in particular that travels quite a bit. I looked at his schedule on a given day of the week, and I told him, you know, you've got to block some time for yourself. You have to take it. Just for his own health, he has to take it. And so I do the same thing. I schedule my workouts into my day. And sometimes they don't get done at the exact time that I schedule them, but nonetheless, I try and plan my day out and my week out, and then I'll insert things around that. But I block off that time that I know that I'll need in order to get in my own training. Another tool that we use is we train with our athletes, more so in the spring and summer and fall months when it's nice and we get out on the weekends, and it allows us to get the face-to-face time with the athletes. We can educate them at the same time, which saves time midweek, where we may not have to generate an email midweek because we're doing it in the on the weekends during some of our group activities. So,
I'm going to have to think about that. You know, I need to find more clients who are also athletes so that when I can go out and do a bike ride or run with them and I can do some coaching at the same time. I don't know how that's quite going to work, but that's definitely an advantage. Definitely an advantage for you.
Yeah, I was reading an article not too long ago about cycling is becoming the new golf, I think, for executives, where they're spending time out on the road with other people. So,
I think that's true. Yeah, I do think that's true. So we're kind of coming up against the end of our time. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you, and this is another question more on the personal side. So your wife, Alona, is also an accomplished multi-sport athlete and coach, and you guys are partners in Kinney Multisport. So I would guess that many of us can't imagine having a very busy schedule, training, and all the commitments you have, and working with your life partner every day. She's a lovely woman, so you know I have to believe that's part of how the magic works between the two of you. But how do you guys make that work?
Well, first I have to preface, it's not always easy. And but we do allow ourselves our own time, and that's really important. So a fair amount of the week on a given day, she'll go and work from the park if it's nice. I mean, we've got the technology now that we can do that. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be in an office, and we can go to the park and connect to the internet through our cell phone, and we can be updating training plans and generating emails from the under the sun. So that really helps. Mm-hmm. And communication is another one. We clearly lay out what our respective responsibilities are within the business, and then also talk each morning about, okay, well, what do you have on your schedule today?
Right.
This is what I've got, and this is what you've got. And if there's any conflicts in there, then we have to figure out, okay, well, how can we manage this and can get everything done that we need to? Also just understanding each other's current moods and taking a look at what they're having to do from their perspective makes it a little bit easier to figure out, okay, this is why she's got to do what she's got to do today. And then finally, the one that we have learned the hard way is we have to schedule off time. Because this type of business where evenings and weekends are typically where a lot of our clients are available to talk.
Right, right. And you guys are together.
Yeah. So we have to be able to schedule a little bit of time for ourselves so we don't end up in that burnout box that a lot of executives do.
Well, it's very impressive. You guys are an amazing couple. I really admire both of you and what you do. So tell, as we're wrapping up here, how can our audience stay connected and get in touch with you?
They can do it through our website at kinneymultisport.com, and they can also email me at paul@kinneymultisport.com if that's more preferable. I can also be found on LinkedIn and Twitter. Twitter handle is @TriCoachPaul.
@TriCoachPaul.
Yes.
Got it. Coach, it's really thank you again for being giving up your time, because I know you're super busy. And it's really been a pleasure having you on our show today. I've enjoyed our conversation. I personally appreciate, and I know our listeners, with all your valuable advice and insights. So thank you again for your time. To our listeners, thank you for joining us. That's it for today's show. Please visit our website, www.bobbyreport.com, and sign up for our Executive Aid Station updates. I look forward to sharing our next episode of the Executive Aid Station, so stay tuned.